This is Andy.
And this is Matt.
And you're listening to
The Hop Podcast with No Name.
What a dumb name.
It's so stupid. Episode 42. Let's jump right in. No preamble.
As he preambles?
Yeah, as I preamble. I've been thinking a lot about weather recently. So we have a request.
Yes, a fling.
A topic for a fling.
Wait, no, that came out wrong. Somebody flung us a request. We don't have a request for a fling.
No, I guess. But they used fling twice in the message, so now I'm...
Yes.
Someone sent us an email. Inside of that email was the word fling a couple times. Because at the end of these episodes...
We say to fling us their thoughts. Yeah,
fling us thoughts.
Correct.
And now this preamble has gotten out of control. But we will persist. So the suggestion, called a fling, was about shifting blame. And so essentially, this person who has been through hop training for years and years and years was saying that something they struggled with early on in learning about hop was to give supervisors or event investigators the same grace as operators who are just doing their best to get the jobs done how they know how to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we prevent ourselves from shifting blame as we start to learn about hop from those doing the work to those investigating the work?
Yes, or those, designing the work.
Or those responsible for...
Managing the work.
Yes.
Yeah.
All of that. And then...
Yes.
This morning...
Yes.
We had a training.
Yes.
Which we've had this before. This is not an uncommon end to a session where we walk out and one of us, not the one talking right now, is incredibly, I want to say frustrated, but blamey.
Defeated and blamey.
To the leaders.
Oh, yeah.
Who are have brought us in to have a conversation, whether they know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, hey.
Since I'm currently in it right now.
Since Andrea is seething, why not talk about it on a podcast? And then we could talk, I don't know where it's going to end. Maybe we get through it.
Maybe we don't.
Maybe we don't.
maybe it's constructive. Maybe it's not.
But if you don't want to listen to the rest of it, here's the answer. The answer to this whole thing is blame doesn't go away. So what do you do then? That's kind of the whole...
Yeah.
Episode in a nutshell, even though we haven't talked about it or recorded it yet. So that's just a guess. If I'm wrong, I'll bring it up at the end that I was wrong.
Yeah, that is not
just going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can. So
share,
yes.
Baker, share.
The feeling that this individual wrote to us to ask us to talk about is a feeling that I know well, and some days I manage it well, and some days I don't manage it well. And today is a day that I am not managing it well, because we'll get called in to do some type of training for a group, and the general message that will be told through multiple layers of questions and discussions is that the leadership team we're talking to at the moment that we're talking to them generally believe that the employees that they're working with or have work for them are complaining a lot. When they get injured, they may or may not be fabricating whether they've gotten injured. They might just be somebody who is sort of accident prone and gets injured a lot. And the reason they will have asked us to deliver training is to fix that problem. That list, that laundry list of how do we get our employees to stop lying to us? How do we get them to not injure themselves frequently? And how do we actually get to the real causes of these things? Which oftentimes they have already come in with this like pre-thought about notion of what the real causes are, all of which that paint the employee in a very bad light. Now, I want to be clear. For sure, there are instances in which people fabricate injuries. I have been part of those. There's usually underlying reasons, whether it be personal, whether it be, hey, we're about to go into some sort of forced overtime and I just can't do that with my family dynamic and I feel between a rock and a hard place and I am going to make something up in order to get out of doing that work. Those types of things happen for sure. When I get frustrated is not when people bring that to the table. It's when they seem to be more concerned about that than they are the system level difficulties that could lead to somebody dying. So it's when the same group of people also can point to many different places in how their work is being run, in the way things are being done today, that unless we make a change to it, the chance of somebody losing their life is quite high. And maybe they've had P-SIFs in that direction already. Maybe they've already had SIFs in that direction. And there seems to be more urgency around managing the fact that people are getting strains, or managing the fact that people seem to be making something up. There feels to be more urgency around that than there is around addressing some of the known level system problems that could result in somebody losing their life. That's where I get frustrated. The difficulty is if I actually get frustrated and I use that as the lens in which I'm trying to teach from, I am not very effective at all.
Which truthfully, I rarely do this, but in your defense, no one really is.
Yeah, fair.
It's absolutely not a uniquely you thing of when I'm really frustrated and angry, I then perform
excellently. Well, somebody out there is going to be like, maybe really I do. I'm really good at when I'm frustrated or angry. And so part of what is helpful for me, and part of the reason why I'm sitting next to you, Matthew, is that
we're in your house.
Yeah, is that when I feel this way, you're there to tell me that I'm not going to be effective and to ground me and to be like, hey, it seems as though something's bothering you, Andy. You want to talk about it? You want to work through it? Because until I can process that anger and that frustration, I can't help people. And so I have to be able to recognize it. And sometimes I can't. I can recognize I'm frustrated, but you actually said it earlier today. I was pacing around the room trying to think, how do we help them? Because we've got a follow-up session. Like, how do we help them? You know, how do we go from where I'm picturing their mindset is today all the way to where we would hope it would be in terms of, you know, where people would want to put their time and energy, what they'd be focused on, like how they would ask questions, how they'd be viewing their employees. How the heck do we get from point A to point B? It seems too far away to be able to execute in the amount of hours that we have with this group. And you looked at me and said, do you think now's the right time to come up with that solution? Or maybe you need to just let it rest for a minute. And you're right. It's not the right time to try to come up with the solution because I can't think beyond my frustration.
What I'm hearing is that I am hot personified. That's what I'm hearing. I'm sure that's not what you're saying. That's what I'm hearing. I think the other part that I kept trying to just tell you over and over again was you're making a lot of assumptions.
Yeah.
You're just shifting where your assumptions are being made.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was just happening. And then I would, you'd say something and be like, are you sure?
Did I'd be like,
did we hear that exactly?
I was like,
did we
yes.
hear it the same way?
Right. You're like, I was there,
and
Andy.
I think for you and for a lot of people, it just felt so viscerally close to what you'd done, where you'd been.
Yeah.
You could see yourself in that facility having those conversations. It was so real to you that you would have had to have chopped through a million assumptions.
Correct.
In that moment.
Yeah.
Because you just, it was so tangible for you.
Yeah.
And the assumptions were left and right, but almost impossible to get out of.
Right. Because the mental picture that I've created for this group, which to your point, Matt, I have no idea if it's accurate or not. Right.
Statistically, it's probably not.
Correct. Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it's a very specific mental picture of a place in which we are so overwhelmed with trying to find solution sets for low level injuries and things that don't have high consequence, and that we're so focused on that the big stuff that's there that we know, the big scary stuff that's there that we know about, we're not paying any attention to, despite knowing about it and despite nobody else having the authority or decision rights to change it, feels so similar to some of the leadership teams I was embedded in that I can't separate talking to them from my own experience, which then just leads me to many, many, many more layers of assumptions.
I mean, the fundamental attribution error is real here.
It's
because
real.
If having listened to you, and you did not say this, I'm going to make something up for the record. that's not sarcasm. You did not say this. It would almost feel like, are you kidding me? You're spending so much time and energy on these little things. Like, you must be a terrible leader and a terrible person to do that. Like, yeah. That's the logic you'd go through when you apply
Correct.
Fundamental attribution error to this issue.
Is that I'm mad at the leaders as people.
And then it's easy to throw your hands in the air and say, well, then I can't fix that.
Correct. Because you all are broken.
Yeah.
Right. So it is doing the exact thing, which is why I think the person who asked us to talk about this asked us to talk about it. It is not using this hop mentality to allow ourselves to give grace to the leadership team, which in this case, right, the reason why I am struggling currently in this moment, right? This is not make believe. This is just me struggling in this very moment.
This is the story of like 5 years ago.
No, this is happening right now. Of I don't think I can help this team because currently I am labeling all of their problems as a person problem, but the persons that are the problem are the leadership team. And that is inaccurate, but tell my brain that. Nope, not in this moment. In this moment, that feels very real to me.
They're all not person problems. I'm saying that now because in this conversation and for forever in the history of the internet, you will hear me say that to you. You can play it back and be like, I could be like, remember when I was right? And, oh, wait, hold on.
Hold on. Let me
play on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It's right there.
Yeah. So I guess you were right as to the direction that we were going in this podcast. Because I mean, the mechanism that I know of to help myself in this moment is to just give myself some time to process it, sleep on it, and not make any decisions about how we're going to go forward with trying to help this group or not help this group, or the messaging that we want to use or the examples we want to use, is because if I try to make a decision right now, it is based on assumptions, limited information, and already labeling this as a person problem, which means that the only way that I can think of to fix it is to fix the people by shaking them up and like telling them that they're wrong and showing them the reality. And it all comes from a place of not constructive thought, but just wanting people to be different, which is not a helpful place to come from.
Yeah. And I mean, it goes to the fact that we are just forced to make assumptions. We just don't know enough.
Yeah.
We have to fill in the gaps. I mean, and we do that all the time. And if we got to a place, and I guess I'm just talking about shifting blames from those doing the work to those investigating to go back to the question, it takes a lot of energy to break the habit that was blaming the worker. It takes even more energy to break the habit that's blaming people. Mm. And so it's sort of applying the same logic that allowed us to give grace to the people doing the work, to those investigating, to everyone else. It's not isolated in a bubble, which is why I fell in love with Hop the way I did. I have no background in safety or in industry. It didn't matter because it was still relevant to everything that we were doing. So you have to apply them universally to what you're doing to not shift that blame around. Mm-hmm. Because to our writer's point, the people that you're trying to shift the blame to are still trying to do the best they can and get their job done the way they know how.
Yeah. Yeah. Which means that what I have to do, whether I like it or not, is that the next time that we meet with these folks, we have to spend more time learning up front as to the behaviors that they have talked to displaying, as to what's making sense, as to why they're doing it, what sorts of problems are they trying to solve with their own behaviors. Which, Matt, to be clear on the record for Matt, another point to him, he already told me that.
Several times.
Yes. And my response at the time was, we don't have time to do that. which is the most common response.
Which is exactly what the group had said to us about why they weren't doing the things that we wanted to do.
Is they don't have time to do it. Yeah. And so it is super easy to fall into the same traps that we try to teach people not to fall into. It is super easy to fall into it not only yourself if you're teaching it, but if you're trying to understand from a group of employees what it's like to execute the work, to shift the blame to the local leadership. And then if you learn from them, then it's pretty easy to shift the blame to the corporate leadership. And then if you learn from them, it's easy to shift the blame to the regulator who wrote a requirement. And if you learn from the regulator, it's easy to shift the blame to like a society problem. And none of it is a good use of energy. But we're still going to feel it. And that's, I think that's the thing that I've had to learn the hard way, several times the hard way, since starting to teach this, is that I was never going to get to a place where I didn't feel blame towards a group. It would shift around, but that I certainly shouldn't make decisions or take action when I'm feeling that. That's the part I had to learn to do better, of don't make decisions or take action in that headspace. And still, I don't remember to do that all the time, which is why you're here to continuously kick me under the table when I mess it up.
I've already established on this podcast that the table's not big enough for anybody's feet to go under. But there's something interesting you had said, not about Hop, a while ago. You were going through something tough and you told me that you were trying to rewire your brain to, when you were going through that experience, you would just tell yourself you were thirsty. And it would force you to drink more water. And you're just trying to say like, okay, I know it's a made up fabrication that's causing an emotional event in my head. So I'm going to shift it to be like, it just means you're thirsty.
Yeah.
And you had to rewire your brain. And I think if we want to talk about trying to rewire what blame does to us, rewiring it to show us that we need to go learn something, that we're making assumptions and we're filling it in with bad.
Yeah.
So when you feel blame, you probably should think,
I'm thirsty.
Blaming.
drink more water.
Which, seriously.
So, I mean, maybe. Yeah.
But also, okay, I probably need to go and learn something. I probably don't know enough, and that's why I'm blaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we spent so much energy getting out of that with those doing the work. And if we feel like we're now shifting it to those supervisors, investigators, leaders, VPs, whomever, we probably don't know enough of what they're going through and why they're making those decisions.
Right.
We should go learn.
Yeah. Find out the real system problems, which they're always there. They're always there.
There are always.
They're always there.
Always. They're always there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which this is fun because so typically we give homework, but now you have homework.
I do have homework. Yeah, I have homework and probably owe people a follow-up of how this goes.
Yeah.
Of sleeping on it, trying to make better decisions with a clear head when I'm not frustrated and I'm not labeling it as person problems. And then the execution of what that looks like in terms of whether or not doing all of that, putting that time and energy into learning more to understand where people are coming from, if that resulted in something beneficial or just a waste of everyone's time.
This is fun for me because you spend, I don't know, 4/5 of the time on this podcast talking about how great you are at Hop and how you apply it everywhere all the time. And now we have a recording of you not doing it.
Yeah.
This is great. It's for good. Me.
It's necessary.
This is going to be your Christmas present. I'm going to print out the transcript and I'm going to frame it.
Could you wrap presents
with a picture with of it? Me next to pointing at the transcript? Remember this? So that's going to be your gift. So everyone now knows.
That's perfect.
Awesome. All right. So you have homework.
I do.
I don't. This is a great feeling. And we will cover it on the next episode.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening.
Well, that's it.
Yep. Another one in the books. We did it.
If you want to send us any of your thoughts, actually fling us any of your thoughts, you can do so at the website www.hoppodcast.com.
That's hoppodcast.com.
Still such a stupid name.
We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening.